Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Chris and Lori on this side, Rob.
Hey, Chris and Lori. How are you guys?
Good. We came in on the tail end of your last call, by the way.
I know you did. I needed a bathroom break, so I had to cut you off.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a fun from coaching a manager. It's a fun call.
Good, good.
Yeah. So anyway.
How's it going, Group Sam, by the way?
Yay! Welcome.
How is everybody?
Good. How you doing, Paul?
Doing good. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Good week.
Yeah, we've had really warm weather here.
You've had warm weather?
Really warm, like 92. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been warm here too. Yeah, we're ready for fall.
Well, no, it's football weather. It should be cooler.
Yes. With you on that.
So, who had a chance to watch the video and,
yeah,
what questions do you have?
I will fess up first. It's fast as 7 days in between calls I've had. I have not even had a chance. I'm glad I'm on the call today. That's what I'm going to hold to. I haven't had a chance to watch the video yet.
Luke, what do you think about it?
It's a good video.
Travis?
I didn't like it.
Pam?
I haven't watched it.
Only one of us watched it.
Who was that?
I think you're the only one on both sides of the telephone call, Paul, that watched it, because Lori hadn't had a chance to watch it either.
You watched it, Paul?
No, Lewis watched it.
Lewis.
All right, Lewis, let's hear from you.
I enjoyed the video.
All right, what did you learn?
Learned about team meetings and things like that. It was very informative, but I'll let you elaborate.
What's different from what you're doing now?
A lot of it's different. Just focusing on our prospecting and carving out time to do that, and managing COIs a lot more effectively, something I'm not doing very well.
Okay. Well, thank you for watching and being prepared. The implemented referral process for the introductory process is this week, week 10. Week 11 is leadership. We focus, everybody needs to watch the leadership one in particular, because it has a lot to do with the future of making sure you do all the things that we've taught so far, and how to get around to doing the things that we haven't talked about, I mean, that you haven't implemented. When we're doing Supernova like this, you're still in the throes of signing up people and getting organized and doing folders, and so some of this stuff gets postponed, let me put it that way. And therefore, we have, you know, we have time to go back and relearn the things that we didn't get to, but we want to make a note as to what it is that we want to learn but haven't had time to learn. So as you're going through this, make sure you do that and say, you know what, I really need to go back and revisit centers of influence, or I need to go back and revisit that mastermind idea, or I need to think about how do I use LinkedIn, or whatever it is that you'd like to do but haven't had time to do. That's what we need starting in week 13. Month one, week 13, that's when we go back and kind of look at things. I'd like you to also consider this, reporting in at that point based on the five-star model. Because at that point, we're going to use the five-star model to manage everything that we're doing. And as you remember, that incorporates every single part of your practice. Planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. Those are all the pieces of your business, and somebody is designated on your team to be in charge of each one of those things. And we want to move the ball down the field in each area. We don't want to just be working on marketing. We want to be working on every part of Supernova. And we also want to use that model to introduce ourselves to centers of influence. By the way, I've changed the center of influence five-step process a little bit. I have a guy that is really successful with centers of influence and is having tremendous results. High closure rate, frequent introductions, high quality introductions, meeting his $5 million minimum. It's just exploding. And one of the things that we talked about today was the difference between meeting somebody where you've got your hand out hoping for business and meeting somebody where you're really interviewing them to see if they're qualified. It changes the game. So when he meets somebody, he tells them that their previous CPA that they were working with is retiring, or that the relationship didn't work out or something, and they're looking for somebody to fill that void, and they have been referred to them. They'd like to meet and talk about their practice and why it would be a good fit. So the first meeting is to just meet and see if you can get along and whether you think that person is a good guy. Likability is really the first thing. The second meeting, I always said, was to bring them back to your office and introduce them using the five-star model. But that's when we're selling them. I love the idea of scarcity, that we're not really selling them on us. We're trying to determine whether they're a good fit for us. So they need to be selling us. So we want to have the first meeting at their office. And his words were something like that: I want to meet everybody that's going to touch one of my clients. And he's convinced that the Supernova model is the reason he's having so much success closing the introductions, because it's so client-centered, so client-focused, and the center of influence loves Supernova. Think about it from their point of view. Why would they love it? Well, they know that every client's going to get 1242, rapid response, financial plan. I mean, that's a great guarantee versus, just no idea when the client's going to get called or what the service experience is going to be like. So I think that so we're switching around those two meetings. And for you guys, that's probably not a big deal. For me, it's like a huge mindset change. And I think that's one of the keys. In his book, Influence, Dr. Robert Caldini talks about scarcity as being one of the biggest influencers why people do things and buy things when they think that there's a scarcity. When you have a high minimum, that indicates scarcity, that you must be better. When you're interviewing people to see if they fit with your plan, and you're only going to choose one person, that's scarcity. So people try harder and they want to be accepted when they think that it's a special situation. So I think that that will go a long way towards getting you what you want in terms of centers of influence versus going around and just begging for, not that we do that, but theoretically begging for business. Any questions or comments on that?
Nope, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, the more we act like we don't want business, the better we do. The more confident we are in us that we don't need business, the better we do. Okay. Implementing the referral process or the introductory process. I just did another interview with Bill Cates, who's the author of Get More Referrals Now. He's written other books that are more current than that, but that's sort of the key book in understanding his process. And it works. You just have to use it. And you have to get comfortable with it, like all of these processes for they all require work, practice, and they will work. So, Lewis, did you understand the VIPSA process, or? No? Yes?
He said
somewhat, but you went over that last week, I think.
Yeah. Value, important, permission, suggestion, advice. Questions on that? Anybody?
Yeah,
what is the important category
then? Huh?
The important part?
Value, important, permission, suggestion.
What is the important part?
Describe important one more time, Rob.
All right. It's just the idea that you could even leave out the word important, but I think what it does is it says this is important. So once you ask the question, you ask, the key is to set up the client in terms of asking a sincere question and wanting a sincere answer. What is it that you valued from this experience in the last 12 months? What experience? Well, the experience of meeting with us and your entire experience with our team. Or even a better question is, what are the three things that you valued the most from your experience with us this past year? That's going to lead to a more robust conversation. If you didn't do anything more than ask that question, it would be really valuable. Why? Because you're going to repeat the behaviors that are valued by the client. So the second part, it's the transition from that answer to that question. You simply say to them, what I'd like to do now, with your permission, is something that's really important to us. And they go, what's that? Or you pause for a second. They go, what? Or what I'd like to do with your permission is to do a little bit of brainstorming. And what we're going to brainstorm about is blank, okay? So that's how it fits in there. So you get permission to do brainstorming. But you can use the word important in there because I think that all of a sudden they look up and go, okay, this is important to him. What is it? And then the brainstorming, I mentioned last week, I think that the brainstorming can be, you can even say, what I'd like to do is do a little brainstorming, and then you have you think about it and come back to me. Or we can, this is what we're going to do, you know, in the next call, and I'd like you to think about it. We're going to brainstorm about who else would value this experience as much as you have. Would that be okay? Sure. we'll think about it for the next week or so, and we'll I'll set up an appointment, and we'll go through that. There's one FA that does it that way, and they're very successful. He does it with every client. He spends an entire call brainstorming. I don't think you need to do that. I think you can help people to think of names and people by using the circles. And I think, you know, it definitely works. Okay. Community involvement. That is two boards of directors. Think about if everybody in your team were on two boards and their spouses were on two boards. How much of an impact you'd have on the community. And it may not be something that you have the time or inclination for, but there are people that you cannot meet otherwise that have a lot of money. People say, where do I meet the really wealthy people? I said, well, they're usually involved in the arts and in charities because they know, you know, they're just, most people understand that they have a responsibility of giving back to the community. So my suggestion is you be involved in, first of all, go to your local, you know, we have Indianapolis Business Journal that ranks all the charities in the nonprofits in the community based on assets and budgets. So you can see which are the ones with the most assets and biggest budgets and where all the prominent players are, and then you can make a concerted effort to get on that board, and then my suggestion is you work your way up to becoming president. You don't get on a board with the intention of getting business, you get on the board with the intention of giving and helping and becoming president. And don't get on the board if you don't intend to do those things. But it should be one charity that you may have a personal interest in and one arts organization which hopefully you enjoy. So I was on a number of different charities here in Indianapolis, and I was the president of the opera. And so you move your way, you know, you get on a board, serve for 7 years, get off, get on a board, serve for 7 years, get off. And you can kind of work your way around the community. You find that a lot of the same people are on all the boards. But that's how you meet some people with some serious money. And people say to me, well, I've been on a board for 7 years and I've never gotten an account. I said, well, you know, one of the things you got to do is you've got to run for office. You've got to go on there with the intention of being president and make friends. And that may require that you have some lunches separate from the board meeting. Or you play golf with people or go fishing with people, or you somehow reach out to the board members. So you build your affiliations, they become friends, and then they become clients. Pretty much in that order, okay? They won't become clients until you become friends and they trust you. Are you guys, what boards are you guys involved in? What are you involved in the community?
I was chairman of the Blue Gray Tennis Board for like 11 years. I'm still on it, but I'm not the chairman anymore. Lewis is on a couple of boards, aren't you, Lewis?
Yeah, Child Protect, Blue Gray, Home Builder Association, Montgomery Academy. You're in that history club thing, aren't you?
Huh?
The history, where Montgomery History.
I'm not on the board, though.
Oh,
well, I'm vice president of the Lewinsky Cigar Club.
Okay.
Hey, I've got everybody in that club to client, and they're all doctors, and they make a lot of money.
Yes.
Doctors love to smoke cigars and drink whiskey. if you really want to prospect for big money, besides being on a charity board, find where all the doctors go to smoke cigars and go smoke a cigar with them.
That's a it's a fun. I couldn't stand. I can't stand the cigars, but it's a great idea. No, and other guys have told me that. I could do the whiskey.
Last Thursday, I couldn't go, and I missed out on an opportunity. They had a deal. You pay $250, and they gave you a basket of cigars, a lighter, and drinks that night. Everybody there was a doctor.
Actually, one of our biggest advocates has come out of the cigar club.
Yeah.
Has referred a ton of business to us and became clients.
Yeah. So you just have to suck it up and smell cigar smoke once a week. That's one thing you gotta do.
What's that?
That's a perfect example. I mean, that's a great example of, you know, a niche with mutual interest and where you make friends and then you do business. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah.
So you then, you know, you
Saturday I invited them on a dove shoot and went on a dove shoot. So that's kind of how we do it. I mean, I'm not very good on getting on boards because I'm not from Montgomery. Second of all, I'm not blue blood Montgomery kind of thing. We're all the same, like the blue, you know. You got to either be that or you got to give them a ton of money around here. And I'm not blue blood and I don't give them a ton of money. So I have to look for other ways to make a living.
But what you just said is perfect. You meet them at the cigar thing, you start talking, find out your mutual interest, and invite them on a dump shoot. That's exactly what you do. And that works, because then you become friends. So how do you become friends? You got to get stuff in common. You do it together. And then, I mean, it's like us fly fishing, right? You go and find a bunch of buddies and go fly fishing. By the time you're done, you know, if I was still in the business of opening accounts, I'd have business from all of them. So, that's exactly the way. It's no more complicated than that. And you do the things that you enjoy, so you do more of them. But one of the things to do is give yourself permission to take the time to do those things. You know, sometimes we feel guilty because we're not working. That's working. Board memberships are working. And going on, you know, the Blue Gray Tennis Club president, that's work, okay? You're working. Then you take them on a, you know, you play tennis with them or you go on a dove shoot, that's work. So count it as work, even though it's fun. And give yourself permission to do that stuff because that's how you build the relationships. That's how you get the new business.
No problem.
So that's social, that's community involvement, social networking, and it works. And that's how you do business in most of the small towns in America. So that's brilliant. Now, you can, in social networking, which is LinkedIn and Facebook and all that other stuff, it is a great way to connect and keep connected with a large number of people that have similar interest, whether they be, you know, dove hunters or tennis players or, you know, triathletes or whatever the heck it is that you like. You can network with a group like that and keep up with friends from college and keep up with, you know, college football and college spirit and all that stuff. And that's a great way to network, particularly in our business where the more you're in front of people, the more they remember you, the better it is for your business. I have gotten business without really working at it through LinkedIn by just being engaged in it. And people find you. They like what you're writing or what you're posting, and they reach out to you and want to meet and want to talk.
Yeah, I get these things on my LinkedIn accounts, and I appeared in five searches, you know, What's going on there? I don't know much about LinkedIn. You sound
people
like you know.
People are searching. You know, they reach out to find. When you meet somebody, the first thing they do is Google you. And the first thing that comes up is your firm website, and the second thing is LinkedIn. So they'll look on LinkedIn to see what you're like and to see what information they can find out about you. So you want your LinkedIn profile to be pretty robust and represent who you are and what you do. So don't hesitate to fill that in and make it, fill it up to be 100%. You're a public figure. This is a marketing.
I get that. Now, I try to, because, we have limited time, and I don't want to get off subject. I've tried to update it a couple of times. I call the people. They say, well, you got to do this, you do that for compliance, and I'll do that. And it never gets updated.
That's
not it. I don't know what to do, because I don't know.
To me,
I've been trying to get a SEMA added for over a year. And I've gone through all the compliance stuff and it never gets done.
Well, I would hire an intern to do marketing for me and, when I could. Get the local university to hire an intern. Go to the local university, the business school.
Yep.
Ask the head of the business department for their best student. Bring them in. Have them learn Supernova, do Supernova, supplement what your CSA is doing, and have them work on things like LinkedIn and Facebook and the other things that you need to get done.
Okay.
Okay.
Chris, you have any problem with LinkedIn and stuff?
I mean, as far as the boards go, Lori and I are in both feet in boards in Pensacola, so we've never had an issue with that. I have really not done much at all with LinkedIn other than make sure it's running and it's up. And really, anytime I have issues with stuff like that, Paul, I call Amanda Rainey and I say, hey, I need to get my LinkedIn updated. And she's just an incredible resource for hooking us up with the right person to make it happen. But I'll be honest, we just don't. Outside of making sure that we're there when people Google our names, we're not that involved in LinkedIn. But we've had it.
What boards are you on?
So right now I'm on the Waterfront Rescue Mission, which is a homeless shelter board. It's pretty big in Pensacola. I'm on the board of the largest Rotary in town, which I've turned down the presidency 3 times. I feel bad now that I hear Rob. But I've been on Covenant Hospice, I've been on the public television, the local junior college, the 4-H board, and if I thought long enough, I could probably come up with 4 or 5 more. And I'm down to just the 2 that I really feel like I have the time to do. Lori has been on, what, Junior Achievement, Impact 100.
How do you go about getting on these boards? You just call somebody and say, hey, if you need anybody, I'm available? What do you do? Actively try to get on a board.
The first time I got on a board, well, I tell you what, Lori's been on the most boards in a short time.
I'm not on the board yet, though.
Oh, she's working on the board.
Yeah, I'm working on that piece of it, but
so,
getting involved, meeting the right people, and
yeah, volunteering.
If you volunteer, they'll keep plugging you in further than you want, probably.
Yeah, it's amazing. When you serve on boards, you'll find out the people that actually work and show up will quickly be moved up the ranks.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're turning down more board offers than you want. But I had a advocate years ago, and I tried to get on to a local university board, and I couldn't give a return call. And I was commenting about that to this person. She goes, oh, my gosh, I need to get you on the public television board. And she got me on public television, and that board really was the impetus behind me getting on a number of other boards, because that board had a lot of, like Rob said, you get on one big board and you're on the next big board, you realize a third of those people from the first board are on the second board. And again, if you're working, then, people will find out about it. And then when I was on the 4-H board, it was because one of our clients asked me to come serve on the 4-H board. So that came through clients, but most of them came out of that very first board that I served on. That was 15, 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I recommend, Paul. Go to your clients that you like and trust and that you, but you know are involved in the community and say, you know, at this stage in my career, I feel like I need and want to give back to the community. You're involved in the community. You're on several boards. If you were me, what would you suggest I do? That's all you need to say. They'll take it from there. And what you want to do then is don't just accept any board. What you want to do is interview a couple and say, you know, I would like to meet. So the next step is once he says, oh, you need to be on this board and you need to be on this board and this is a good fit for you and such and such. They'll probably ask you, what are you interested in? You know, what are your interests? So you should have an idea of what board you'd like to be on. And you should be asking your clients what boards they're on. I mean, it's a really good question. You should know that as part of your profiling of your clients, because that's a passion for them. It's like they're children. A lot of them are very, very interested in it. So,
been on boards, haven't you? Have you got any clients from them? Mm-hmm. Who have you got?
They're clients that some of them don't fit. I've got the Child Protect Retirement Plan. I've called on a lot of people that I was on the Montgomery Academy board with. Bill Jackson was on a board. I got an account from him. Rob's right. If you have a client and you want to get on a board, they'll get you on a board. One of their charges is to find other board members.
Right.
If we have a good client, we can find one or two that, you know, can plug us in some things that might be beneficial.
Well, can I make a caveat to that, Rob?
Yep.
So of all the boards I served on, I would get a client here and there just periodically until I finally got so burnt out on boards, I let my tenure roll out and I wouldn't re-up. And I told my wife, I said, I'm not getting another board unless it's something I'm passionate about. And when I got the invitation to be on the rescue mission, a friend had asked me, I really believe in what they're doing. I jumped on it. When I got on that board, which is the last board I would ever look to for clients, but because it was something I cared about, I got more clients. I have continually gotten more clients from that board interaction than anything else I've ever done. So be careful not to serve on a board. There's nothing wrong with serving on a board that does good things, but if you can find a board that really aligns with what your passions are, it comes across at the board meetings, it comes across the other members, and I'm just assuming that's why that one board has probably been the most successful one for pulling referrals, and I was not actively looking for any clients out of that board position.
No. You look to give and make friends. So you give just exactly like you did with your dove shoot thing. You know, the cigar club, you meet people, you find out who you like, who's a neat guy, you like him, you could take him dove hunting, and you become the client, okay? That's how you do the same thing. You get on the board, you find out somebody's a really neat guy, he's a CPA, he likes to play golf, you take him out and play golf, you become friends, and then you ask him about his business. Tell me about your practice. Who's your average client? What does it look like? And he's going to then go, tell me about your business. What's your average client? What does it look like? Who do you like? What's your ideal client? And then you're going to do business together. It's not complicated, but you got to do it that way. And you can't be on there trying to get. You got to be on there trying to give. You got to understand that you're going to get on there and you want to become present. So don't join a board that you're not passionate about, because you'll just be annoyed by it, and everybody notices. You know, you don't want to go to the meetings, you come late and you leave early. You see those guys on the boards. They get nothing out of it. They're idiots. They're jerks. I mean, I was the president, so I wouldn't let those guys kick them off, you know. So, but don't be intimidated by the you're not a blue blood. That's they want you, your energy, your time, your money. You know, that that's just an excuse. Don't let yourself get stuck into that.
Yeah.
Hey, it could be worse.
I was chairman of this one board. It was a full-time job almost, so I know about work. As a matter of fact, my business increased tremendously when I gave that up.
Hey, it could be worse, Paul. You could be in Mobile.
Yeah. Is that worse?
Oh, yeah.
Sure that.
And you know what? There's 7 different strategies here, guys. You don't have to do this at all. Some people build their entire business around doing this. I had a gal that she moved from one board to another. Her family had, it was a local firm. Her dad had started the firm. That's all she did was on boards. And she'd pick up, I said, where's your business come from? She said, I don't know. I'd say, well, let's look at it. That one came from this board. That one came from this board. That one came from this board. About 40% of her practice came from board memberships. Okay? So she was giving back to the community. It took an enormous amount of her time, but that's where all her business came from. So I'm not saying this is the answer. It's just one of 7 choices. Okay. So pick the ones that you like and go after it, you know. So we are out of time. And we covered everything. Converting difficult prospects into clients, that's basically the 90-day free look. Give them Supernova for 90 days free, and then see if they're getting anything like that from where they are sitting now. It's a great way to get people off the fence that are in your target market. You can't seem to close them. And that's it. So try, you know, talk about it among yourselves, you know, what you want to do. Maybe you want to, you definitely should be using your existing clients as prospect, as, you know, centers of influence for you. And the VIPSA process is a great way to do that. So everybody should be using that one. The others, LinkedIn, social networking, 90-day free look, you don't have to use those. But they work. Okay, next week is leadership, so watch the video.
Rob, I'll be Lori will be running it solo next week. I'll be hiking, so see y'all.
Where are you going?
Appalachian Trails, my eighth year.
Oh, good going. Tony Singh did the whole thing. He's an FA in Davenport, Iowa, and did the whole thing. I'm a big hiker, you know.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Well, good for
you. How long will you be gone, Chris?
It's only 3 days on the trail. We drive a day, hike 3 days, drive back, which we've gone all the way to the north, close to Virginia, and the drive gets too long, so we're looping back around. We're starting back in Georgia again and going to do about 30 miles.
Good for you.
How many you got going with you?
Just 6 this year. We've had as many as 14 and as few as 6. So this is one of the smaller groups.
Y'all have fun.
Y'all have a great week.
All right. Stay dry.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.